listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the bonus hour, our final hour of the week. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Thanks so much for being with us. Hope you've had a really good week. Thanks for spending a chunk, maybe in some cases a good chunk of it with us. We're very grateful for that. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today was the day when, along with some final thoughts coming up in 40 minutes time. Remember, tomorrow, 10 a.m. is when the match starts. You'll see advertisements for 9 a.m. 10 a.m. is when it starts. The U.S. and the Netherlands, which will lead right into college football at noon. I mean, Mark, by the time our game, the SEC Championship, is ready to kick off, I mean, basically, it'll be decided, right? Pac-12 title game tonight, Big 12 title game at noon. I mean, that's it.
That is it. Because the two late games shouldn't matter. Georgia and Michigan are in, by all accounts. Which, if that's the case, I'm wondering why TCU's not in.
Well, I will say there are a large number of people who believe TCU is in unless it's a blowout. Like, they can't suffer an Ohio State-type loss, but they can suffer a 7-14-point loss and still be in. But they can't get blown out. You and I don't think, believe that, or are you coming around
to that
way of thinking?
What really sucks, David, is that I'm pretty sure that if you called this team Texas, or if you called this team Oklahoma, I would be positive that they are in whether they win or lose. And even if the same blowout factor was in there. But you know what I mean. I think their brand is hurting them. And it shouldn't.
And because they're not royalty, then their conference also hurts them, in my opinion. You know, the committee can cite any damn thing they want.
And generally does.
Right. And they change it from week to week. But do you think Boo Corrigan was telling the truth when he said, just because Ohio State's 5 and Alabama's 6, that doesn't mean that that's how they're going to end?
Oh, because 100% I believe that, David. I believe him completely and entirely.
So you believe that we could come up with, I mean, he gave the impression that there's a result, that if it were to happen, that would hurt Ohio State and or the result would help Alabama, and then therefore we would revisit the one school at 5 and the other school at 6. I'm trying to figure out the result. Would it be a really close Big Ten championship game or an upset?
I think it's an upset and then a really close SEC game. David, look it. Let me rephrase that. I don't know what it is. All I know is that this committee can figure out a scenario for whatever they want to figure it out for.
Correct.
And I don't agree with them. I want you to know wholeheartedly, I don't agree. 5 is 5. If they're not playing, then 5's still 5. That doesn't change.
That's kind of how I see it. Remember, we talked about it all last week. What they come out with this past Tuesday night was a big deal. They're basically telling you who's in the on-deck circle. The other guy's in the dugout. He hits next. Humor me. Because I have, and I'm not just picking it to pick it. All right. I actually think Utah and K-State are going to win. If that were to happen, and for the record, both point spreads are less than a field goal. Okay. So I understand I'm picking chaos. These are toss-up games here. They are. One of them, in fact, the favorites already lost the game. And in the other game, The favorite was down 18 points before rallying to win. It's not crazy to say Utah and Kansas State are going to win this weekend.
So if you're right, what happens?
Yes.
Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, TCU.
Interesting.
That's my gut.
Now, you know they can't put Ohio State third because then that'd be the Michigan-Ohio
State
rematch.
All right, so then TCU slips to three, stays at three, and Ohio State just slides into the four hole. You're right. I apologize. They're not going to let Michigan-Ohio State play again.
Which also, here's what to me would be rich. Since they have Ohio State 5 and Alabama 6, and let's just say my two small upsets happen, and the committee looks at one another and goes, you know, we're going to put Ohio State and Alabama in. They then have to have Alabama leapfrog Ohio State.
Right.
Because they have to have Alabama 3, so they play Michigan, and Ohio State 4, so they play Georgia. Although, I will say this, both conferences, the teams would hate it, but both conferences, if they pitted Michigan against Ohio State again and Georgia against Alabama, both conferences would go, well, we're going to get a team in the final. I mean, we're going to huff and puff and pretend this is awful, but it's actually not awful. But, okay, so you believe. Normal games, you know, normal margins, you know, both that TCU and USC lose, but they lose by 10 or less. That TCU will stay in.
USC will then have two losses. I think they will be taken out.
Because we've never had a team with two losses since 2014 when this whole playoff committee thing started. We've yet to have a two-loss team make it. Okay. Listen, I can't tell you you're wrong because I have no idea what these Yahoos will do.
No. But they're not going to put Alabama into the four slot. That I'm pretty comfortable with.
Which may fall in line with your line of thinking then, that maybe they keep TCU in and they split the difference between Ohio State and Alabama, and the difference is the number in the right-hand column, which, by the way, and I know that this thing's going to change here in a couple of years, but once again, that would be why schedule tough games. Once again, if the right-hand column is actually more important than the left-hand column, then why schedule a tough game?
Benefited Michigan. They had one tough game. They had two tough games. They had Penn State at home. Illinois gave them a little tougher game than anybody expected, but that was a 17-point spread, if memory serves me right.
Correct. Which, by the way, keep that in mind. Georgia LSU, 17. Michigan Purdue, 17, 17 and a half. What was Illinois at Michigan? 17 and a half. Just saying.
But Michigan, who always, through their history, has played a good non-conference schedule. They really have.
Yes.
You can all remember games against Colorado, and they played Washington, and they played Notre Dame forever and ever. This year, their non-conference schedule was abysmal. What, Colorado State, Connecticut, and I forgot who the other one was. But there is, we thought going forward with 12 that this would create more of these great non-conference games. The committee has at least told us once again, heading into this weekend, just don't lose.
So that's the college landscape. Curious your thoughts. What if TCU loses? Do you think they're in? Do you think they should be? Do you just flip-flop USC and TCU? USC wins, TCU loses. You go, you know what? Fine. USC goes to 3, TCU to 4. See, the part that I think that I would be terrified about if I'm TCU, terrified about. And by the way, if you're TCU, I think you root for Utah tonight. I don't think you want USC winning. because I would be terrified that they would replace me if I lose with Ohio State because of the obvious. And then think of what the Final Four would be. Think about it. A 1-4 matchup in Atlanta, Georgia and Ohio State, and a 2-3 matchup in Phoenix, Michigan, USC. That is, by the way, the only value to the Big Ten and SEC championship games in my mind, Mark. The number one seed gets to choose the location for their semifinal. And it just so happens this year that the semis are in Atlanta and Phoenix. Well, obviously, we know where Georgia wants to play. And meanwhile, that could, in theory, hurt Michigan. I mean, although goodness knows Michigan will travel, you can put the game in Anchorage and they'd pack it. Okay, but I don't know how much the USC fan will really travel. But if it's in Phoenix, they'll get there.
And they'll travel this year. It's been a long time. Will Ferrell will get the troops fired up to get to the game. You can trust me on that one, David. The Trojans will travel for this first game.
But, I mean, think about that. I mean, like ESPN, how much do you think they're rooting for Kansas State? Right now, right there, in the on-deck circle, is the number one draw in the sport, Ohio State.
And think of it. Georgia, Michigan, USC.
Ohio State? Are you kidding? I mean, literally, if you gave ESPN a blank pen and a paper, the only change they would make is they'd replace Georgia with Alabama. Otherwise, that would be it.
Every year.
Yes.
By the way, every year.
Yes.
They might let Texas sneak in once in a while because that might help out. But I don't know if they would.
And maybe, maybe they'd throw in a Notre Dame.
Right.
Say, you know, we can't have two teams. Oh, you're telling me I can't have two teams from the same conference? Okay. And then that's how they would do it. So I don't agree with Chris Landry, Clay Travis, many other talking heads who have come out this week and said TCU's in even with a loss. I think TCU would need a Utah win in the Pac-12 title game. I don't think they'll drop Utah totally or TCU totally out, okay, if USC loses as well. Miller and Moulton, we'll make some picks next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour, Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Good, bad, and ugly, what's on tap? Today was the day when, along with our final thoughts coming up in about 20 minutes' time. For the record, Mark has UCF beating Tulane again to win the AAC title, which is funny. Mr. Anti-UCF that he was labeled by UCF fans, all right, during our second act, is doubling down on UCF.
Well, that's because I didn't buy into the whole they are national champions.
No, I know that. I said that you were dubbed by UCF fans. You were not and never have been anti-UCF. You just wouldn't drink that ultimate bottle of Kool-Aid. You're like, you know, the national championship claim is bogus. And, you know, they obviously don't think it is. It would be one of the glorious possibilities if we had the 12-teamer now is that it is possible that the AAC champion would have been paired against Alabama in a 5-12 or 6-11 matchup. And it would have been rich for UCF 4 years later to finally get their first round game in Tuscaloosa. But obviously that's not going to happen for a little while, if ever. I have Tulane. Sorry, Knights fans. Or you may be happy with my record of picking games. NFL. We both had the Bills last night. No, that's not true. I picked the Patriots in an upset. So I'm already 0-1.
You had the Patriots.
I did. Let's start in the NFC East. Washington at the Giants. Washington a road favorite. Who do you like?
I like Washington. I mean, I just think that they're playing really good football right now, and I think the world's starting to see what you've been telling us since September.
If I think that Sunday is the season for the Giants, like if they win it, I think it's possible, not likely, but possible, they can make the playoffs. If they lose it, I would literally bet my house that they don't make the playoffs. So with that sense of urgency, even though I don't think they're a good team, and I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs, even with a win Sunday, but I'm picking the Giants. They also are getting five guys back off the injured list. They've been really banged up the last 3 weeks. Dolphins in San Francisco.
You know, I picked Miami, and I, for the first time ever, can say I completely did this with my heart. I want Miami to win. I truly do. I am, you know, which quarterback do you trust more, Jimmy G or Tua? I am getting disgusted by the narrative that Tua can't play, so I'd like to see him in a big game step up and have a game. Would love to see this guy on the road do what he's been doing, take these great receivers, take what McDaniel's been doing to get them open all the time. Nobody can play man against them, even as good as they are. Will they get a pass rush? Probably, but you're still not able. You're going to play zone, and Hill's going to get open. He's going to get yards after he catches the ball. They're going to beat these defensive backs, and it's just whether or not Tua can hit him. And I'm hoping that he has a big game. I'm rooting hard for Tua on Sunday.
The Niners wins this year. The only team with a winning record that they've beaten. Well, the Chargers, okay, by pulling out the win last week against Arizona, now have a winning record. So technically, they've beaten two teams with a winning record. They beat the Chargers and they beat the Seahawks, two teams that are both 6-5. Otherwise, they have two wins against the Rams. They have a win against Carolina. And they have a win against Arizona, and they have a win against the Saints. They haven't beaten a team like the Dolphins. Not at all. Here's my thing, Mark. I understand the Dolphins won't be able to block the Niners. I get it. Niners won't be able to cover those receivers. They're not man corners. They're zone corners. That means there's space. That's exactly what Tua and those wide receivers want. Great. Not going to chuck me at the line. I got space. And with my speed, I actually think the Dolphins can, yeah, he's not going to have a lot of time, but they're going to run a lot of quick slants, and they could take a couple quick slants to the house. I'm picking the Dolphins in an upset.
You and I both are.
Jets and Vikings.
Time's the game?
I think it's
1 o'clock, David. Noon Central.
I think it's 1 o'clock.
Noon Central. The one thing I would like to see is that the Vikings average less than 100 yards a game rushing the football. If they're going to continue to try to win and win into January, Dalvin Cook has to become a bigger part of this offense. I would like to see if they can run the ball, and that's not easy to do. The Jets are a really good defense. So I'd like to see them mix it up a little bit, a little more balance, a little more Dalvin Cook, but I do like the Vikings at home.
I'm torn because I think the Jets defense will slow the Minnesota offense down a little bit. All right, but I'm with you. I think Vikings eke one out in the fourth quarter. I'll take Kirk Cousins in the fourth quarter over Mike White. You give the Titans a shot in Philly?
Oh, yeah. I give them a shot. Like you pointed out earlier in the show, Philly's not, you know, Aaron Jones was able to run and run well. Derrick Henry can run.
And the Colts ran it effectively the week before.
So I give them a shot. I like the Eagles, but I think it'll be a really close game. I'm fired up to watch this one.
I can't believe it, but I'm going to pick against my Titans. How? That saddens me.
Well, the Doc Roto yesterday talked about A.J. Brown. If you missed it, he said no matter what you do in your DFS, A.J. Brown's got, if you want to win money, A.J. Brown better be a part of your lineup.
Chiefs at Bengals. Cincinnati hosts both the Chiefs and the Bills between now and the end of the season.
I like the Chiefs. Chase is coming back, which will be a big part of this, but their defense has been underrated this year. Chiefs have not been allowing a lot of points. I like the Chiefs in this one. Be a close game, but give me the Chiefs by a field goal.
Give me the Bengals. I think getting Chase and Mixon and at home, Chiefs are due to lose a game. Although I do think the Chiefs just threw their helmets on the field last week. They were already looking ahead to this week. It's kind of how I feel about Georgia against LSU, to be honest with you. I think they kind of threw their helmets on the field against both Kentucky and Georgia Tech. And I think LSU is going to get Georgia's A game.
Yeah, I just don't know who Georgia's going to play in the fourth quarter when they're up by 20. What incentive is there to blow a team out in this game? If you get a player injured in the fourth quarter because you're trying to pile on LSU, then Kirby, that's on you. I'm getting Stetson Bennett out as soon as I can. I'm getting some of the defensive guys out as soon as I can. I'm not going to let Bowers play more than he has to.
I know we're down to about a minute here. Why do I just think the Bears are due to beat Aaron Rodgers and maybe the last time he'll play them wearing a Packers uniform? I mean, come on, 24-5. Last five games, he's thrown 16 TDs, no interceptions.
Fields isn't healthy enough to beat him, David. He's just not.
You're right.
If he were if that injury didn't happen, the shoulder didn't happen, one, I'm not even sure he should be playing in this game, but he's going to play in this game because he has to play in it because it is the Packers and it's such a big deal. He's going to be on the field, but I don't know how effective he's going to be, David.
Yeah, I don't know how effective number 12 is going to be either. I mean, but you're right. And finally, toss-up game, literally, point spread-wise, record-wise, Jags in Detroit against the Lions. I'm going Detroit.
As am I. You know the Lions, the juggernaut that they are at home. Would like to see the Jags win this to get them two back of Nashville, and they play them twice.
Absolutely. Only 5-7 team in the history of the league who controls their destiny the rest of the way. It'd be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, I'm picking the Lions. I'm rooting for the Jags.
And I think it's going to be a really entertaining game.
I do too. 28-27, I think. Up and down, a lot of offense.
There's some of the NFL games, a few of the college games as well as we go through. Championship Saturday and a great, and I mean a ridiculously good NFL Sunday on paper. Five more games with teams with winning records playing one another on Sunday. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Today was a day when what's on tap? That's what's remaining in this week on Miller and Moulton right here on the Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes till the top of the hour, 17 minutes until we're out of here. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. FloridaSportsNetwork.com. We have a lot to get to in this segment. Two games very quickly. We didn't comment. Chargers, Raiders. It's in Vegas. Chargers desperately need it. They've got Dolphins and Titans next 2 weeks on their schedule.
It's as must win as it gets this time of year for the Chargers. I think they get it done.
I don't. I think Vegas wins their third in a row. Wow. Steelers in Atlanta. It's a virtual pick'em game. And I don't know how much difference there is between these two teams. And yet one of them may win their division. And the other may finish last. But Pittsburgh at Atlanta.
I'll take a Moulton flyer and take Atlanta. Pittsburgh won on Monday night. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. I think Atlanta's got to win any of these tight games as well. I mean, it's pretty desperate for Atlanta. If they're going to win the division, they've got to win this game.
I do think the Falcons have a more favorable schedule the rest of the way than Tampa, which may allow them to catch up and force that regular season finale to be for the NFC South. Wouldn't that be something if on NBC the final game of the regular season is Tampa at Atlanta?
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And Brady could do it to the Falcons again.
All right, we got a lot to get to because we were skipping around with guests and Tommy Smith joining us. We had to move the Clutch Vodka play of the day to right now. So, Felipe, what do you got?
A little upset in college basketball. Number 20 Maryland women's basketball team upset Notre Dame, who's ranked 7th on this shot.
They flatten it out, 1-4. Miller's got it. 5 seconds to go. Miller, the pull-up off the cross.
Diamond Miller, she was balling out at the Fort Myers tip-off last weekend.
And she was clutch with that win over Notre Dame, Clutch Vodka. Tag all your drinks on your social media with hashtag Clutch Vodka. Look for Clutch Vodka at Total Wine and visit them at clutchspirits.com. That leads us right to...
It's time for someone to take back this segment. If for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Napoleon crowned Emperor of France today, 1804. 1812, James Madison re-elected president. 1823, President James Monroe declares the Monroe Doctrine, opposing European colonialism in the Americas. 1840, William Henry Harrison. Henry Harrison, elected ninth president of the U.S. 1845, President Polk announces to Congress that the U.S. should aggressively expand to the West. 1909, finally some sports. The National Hockey Association is formed in Montreal. Becomes the NHL after some NHA teams leave due to ownership disagreements and create their own league. Today in 1951, Don Hutson is the first Packer to have his number retired by the franchise. The number 14 jersey was retired. 1969, the NHL announces that the Canucks and Sabres would be joining the league 1 year after doubling its size from 6 to 12. 1972, Anthony Davis for USC scores 6 against Notre Dame in a 45-23 victory, the first to ever score 6 touchdowns against the Fighting Irish.
And I think 5 of them came in the second half, and he returned the second half kickoff for a touchdown, and then it was on.
2 kickoff returns and 4 runs in the game. I don't know about your mom, but my mom played the ever-living you-know-what out of this song. 1978, the number one song in the land, David, was Neil Diamond and Barbra Streisand, You Don't Bring Me Flowers. Oh, God, that song makes me want to throw up to this day.
And I like Neil Diamond a lot, but I was not crazy about that duet. It was slow.
81, Fernando Valenzuela becomes the third consecutive Dodger to be named NL Rookie of the Year. Sutcliffe in 79, Steve Howe in 80, and then Valenzuela in 81.
And I think he also then wins Cy Young as a rookie.
84, Marino breaks the single-season touchdown passing record when he throws his 37th. In a loss to the Raiders, he would finish the season with 48. A year later, it would be the Dolphins beating the Bears 38-24 on Monday Night Football, their only loss of the season at the OB.
And nearly got the Super Bowl rematch, but the Patriots came into the Orange Bowl and upset Shula, Marino, and the Dolphins. And so that's why it was Chicago, New England. That would have been a sexy Super Bowl if Miami could have held serve.
Naked Gun premieres today in 88. Also in 88, SportsCenter aired its 10,000th edition, making it the most televised cable program in history. I think that's still the case. Andre Ware wins his Heisman today in 89. David, you'll love this one. It was today in 91 that Bobby Bonilla becomes the highest paid player in Major League Baseball when he signs a $29 million 5-year deal with the Mets.
And he announces at the presser, "You guys aren't going to wipe this smile off my face." The New York media kind of looked at each other like, is that a challenge? They had that smile gone before spring training was over.
And today at 95, Canadiens coach Mario Tremblay leads Patty Waugh in a little too long when he was embarrassed by the Red Wings. He demands a trade, goes to Colorado, and would win the Cup. Those born today that are no longer with us, this is purely for David and I. Alexander Haig.
I'm in charge here.
I'm in charge. You want to know who's in charge? I'm in charge here. Versace and Juice WRLD, all born today that are no longer with us. Gary Cheevers is 82 years old. Pedro Barbone is 76. Rich and Ron Sutter are 59. Kelly Butchberger is 56. Daryl Kyle is 54. Monica Sell is 49. Britney Spears is 41 and just took a selfie that she was nude in again. And Aaron Rodgers is 39 years old today. And that, David, is Today Was the Day When.
Who was that Juice? Was that Juice Newton? Who was that?
Juice WRLD. It's a rapper. I had to double check with Felipe to see if it was worth putting in here. He said it was.
Okay. All right. Good Will Hunting premiered 25 years ago today. So.
You like apples? I mean,
there's other things, but that's okay. We'll move on.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
For the good today, we go to Fort Myers Beach, and there's not much that's been good down there, but as they're trying to rebuild, they are going back to their holiday staple and building the poinsettia tree in the middle of the debris on Times Square. They've been doing it since 95, and they're going to do it again this year. Anything that tries to make things a little bit more normal on the beach, we're all for. I know people have been getting down there. I haven't done it yet. I'm still, well, not ready. But it's time to go down and get a drink because there's a few bars open down there and they're playing some music. So if you get a chance to go down and donate a little money to the folks on the beach because they need it. For the bad, we go to Berlin, where a 72-year-old woman's been arrested after she switched off her hospital roommate's ventilator twice because she was annoyed by the sound it made. She was jailed on suspicion of attempted manslaughter following the incident in the hospital. She switched off the 79-year-old woman's ventilator, and despite being told by staff it was vital for the patient, she switched it off again later that evening. That damn noise. Finally, the ugly, we go to Valley, Alabama, in a disturbing, awful story. 82-year-old Alabama woman was arrested for not paying a $77 trash bill. Court records show that the woman was arrested Sunday for not paying a garbage service bill that covers the months of June, July, and August. She was charged with a misdemeanor offense of failure to pay solid waste fees. That's why we're hauling an 82-year-old woman off to jail, huh? Excellent. Well done, Alabama. You outdo yourself every time. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, December the 2nd, 2022.
Got two college football championship games today and tonight. You got Conference USA going on today. Texas San Antonio against North Texas. It's a rematch. Texas San Antonio had a long winning streak last year. Went to Denton, Texas. Got whooped. Well, now it's Texas San Antonio with another long winning streak, like 9 in a row. Only this time, North Texas, the Green Machine, they got to come to them. Miller and Moulton are both riding. What are they, the Roadrunners?
Roadrunners.
Laying the 8.5. And then, of course, Utah-USC tonight. Big one. Playoff spot on the line. Biggest game USC's played since they played Texas for the national title 17 years ago. Can you believe that? That game was 17 years ago?
And I made a mistake there. Darryl Cowell would have been 54. He passed several years ago. That's on me.
Oh, he's on the list. I mean, you know, you mentioned him. He's a good pitcher. I think he died of sleep apnea. They think Don Drysdale might have died from it, too. I think they said, you know, heart attack, sleep apnea. They didn't know, but he, you know, died in a hotel room in Montreal. I mean, you know, wasn't drugs and alcohol, so. Reggie White died of sleep apnea. This all added up, Mark. It's why I went for the test. I wasn't going to go for the test. Started with Drysdale. Then it was, you know, Reggie. Then Darryl Kyle. I said, you know, I think I'm going to go for the test. Apparently, you can die from this thing. So, I carry that sleep machine around.
By the way, as David went through all these conference games, there it is worth mentioning, if you really are a degenerate at 1 o'clock.
I didn't know if you'd do it.
Akron plays Buffalo. This is the game that was snowed out when the Bills had to go to Detroit to play their regular season game against the Browns. Buffalo and Akron waited a whole nother day to cancel their game. But they are making this game up. Akron, which is 2-9 on the season, is taking on 5-6 Buffalo. And why are they doing it, David? Because if Buffalo wins, what are they? Bowl eligible.
There you go, Mark. There you go.
They're laying 11.5. in a game that that's not on anywhere.
Think about that. This day and age, you play a game with all the networks and streaming services that we have.
You can stream it. I mean, it's out there that way, but they're not even putting this game on CBS Sports Network, ESPNU. It doesn't even get a network. It gets a plus, David.
Man. There's more group play in the World Cup today. You got the final two groups, groups G and H. Brazil, I think they've already won Group G.
Yeah, they have.
But, you know, Switzerland's trying to hold on to the second spot, and, you know, Cameroon and Serbia trying to chase them down.
Right, Serbia can beat Switzerland and get in. That's probably, you know, that's one of the fixtures today, David.
And Group H is Portugal. I think they've already won it.
They have, right? Too.
And you got Ghana, who's trying to hold off Uruguay, and they're playing each other.
Right.
That's... But tomorrow, U.S. and the Netherlands, baby. I got to admit, we didn't ask Tommy Smith because we kind of got the sense with all the questions that we asked him. He kind of likes the Netherlands.
Kind of a lot. You know, when I asked what is it that they do that we should be most worried about? His answer was everything.
Correct.
I mean, that was his first word was, well, everything.
And he said we would have to control the match in our midfield, and that's where our two key injuries are. Pulisic says he's going to play. Now, of course, it's 100 minutes of running around out there. And I say 100 because stoppage time has just gone nuts. Man. I mean, now when they put 7 minutes up for stoppage time, you go, wow, it's not that much. I mean, that's how much stoppage time they've been putting out there. Where before 7 minutes, you'd have to have an investigation as to what the heck's going on.
Exactly. Hey, if the U.S. could get it scoreless at the half, I'd be impressed.
Well, we've been a much better first half team than second so far. I know I've been harping on this one thing. But he's got to play Gio Reyna, all right? He's really skilled. I think he can lead to a goal. For whatever reason, for this guy, he's a square peg in a round hole. He says Reyna's skill set doesn't fit our system. As Tommy Smith said on Tuesday, well, then change the damn system. I mean, we're playing somebody who's clearly better than us, and we're not healthy. I think we need to put our most talented players out there and take our chance. But what the heck do I know? Soccer, for goodness sakes.
That's why I'm not calling for player changes and just watching and observing. But we're playing a team that is far superior to us. This would be a huge upset. And I hope everybody's watching at 10. I hope everybody's fired up. Hope the bars are packed. And it makes for an entertaining Saturday. Be a great way to start with an upset. Lead us right into a bunch of college football. You can lock in at about 10 in the morning and not have to move your behind from the television until midnight.
So Utah USC tonight, and then K-State TCU noon tomorrow. I mean, listen, you could make plans. I mean, unless you're just a diehard, you know, football fan or Michigan or Georgia or what have you. But, I mean, you could turn to your significant other and say, hey, how about we go out tomorrow night? Really? Is Saturday night during football season? Yeah, let's go out. Because by 4 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to know whether or not TCU and USC are in the playoff.
I was invited to a 70th birthday party tomorrow that said no gifts. I'm not sure if I should get a gift or bring a gag gift because he's 70. I've never been invited to a birthday party of someone of this age yet that's not a family member. Do you go with Depends and really be that guy?
Oh, sure.
Miller and Moulton. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back Monday morning right here on the Florida Sports Network.